Thank you. And today I'm going to be talking about a national survey that we did, the results of that survey about ornamental grower practices. So just as by way of introduction, we sent out a survey from March 2011 through January 2012, looking at the 2010 growing season to growers throughout the country. We reached those growers through email from extension agents and state nursery and landscape associations, so Michigan, Maryland, all the landscape associations that we could get in contact with that were willing to send out the survey. We asked them to do so to contact their growers. And the topic of the survey is quite a large survey. It included questions about sensor networks, which is what we're working on at the time of the survey was sent out, costs and revenues at the operations, production practices, so how they grew plants, plant loss rates per type of operation, container, greenhouse, and field, and also the irrigation practices at the operation. And this was a meant to be a national survey to get at national trends. So if we take a look at the results, we had 162 operations that completed the survey. 96 of those had at least a greenhouse component, 83 were container, 59 were field, and 37 also included another type of operation, for example, agriculture, growing corn or soybean or something like that. So we had about 20,000 acres that were represented, and of that, about 1,000 was greenhouse, about 4,000 was container, about 10,000 was field production. And then if we look at the average acreage per operation, so about 180 acres, that of course is mainly made up of field growers, and then about 40 acres of container, and about 5 acres of greenhouse production. So one of the things that we want to look at is to make sure that we're getting operations that are, you know, kind of a good mix of small growers, large growers. Well, it turns out that our survey was skewed towards larger growers, those earning $10,000 or more. And if we compare our results to the Census of Ag, which is completed every 5 years by the USDA, we saw that starting at about $250,000 on up, we got a proportionally larger amount of growers compared to those that exist as far as the ag census goes. So the good part about that is that we are basically targeting, we're looking at larger operations, not necessarily the small operations that are, you know, just doing this on the side or, you know, employ one person or two people. These are kind of the larger growing operations that we are going to be looking at today. And then as far as responses by region, we want to make sure that we are representative of the United States. And the good news is that it looks like we're relatively representative, especially in the Pacific, the Northwest, and the Southeast. The Appalachia, we're a little bit overrepresented, a little bit underrepresented in the Midwest, and about the same in the Great Plains, the South Central, and the Mountain region. So I'm just going to go through a couple of the different types of questions that we ask growers about, things that I thought would be interesting to this group. There's many more things that we could talk about, and there's a paper that's being written right now that we're going to kind of put all that out there, and there is quite a bit. So if we look at water availability, so one of the things that we asked growers was whether or not their flow was reliable. The good news is that most of the growers, almost 60 of them out of about 70, said that yes, their flow rates were reliable, which is a good thing if you're trying to go grow plants. And then whether or not their volume fluctuated from during the year. And it turns out that most of them said that their volume did not fluctuate, but for some of the growers, if they were pulling from a surface well or a surface water, that they may have fluctuations throughout the year that they needed to account for. And whether or not their quality changed from month to month, most of them said that no, their quality was pretty reliable. For example, from a deep well, you'd expect the same quality. But then if you're pulling from surface water or if you're recycling during the year, your quality is going to change. And then another question we asked them was, do you store water at your operation? And 40 of about 60 said that no, they did not store. So they were basically pulling water directly from their source, applying it, and then it was going off of their operation. for those that were storing water, most of them were storing it in open ponds at their operation. Mainly greenhouses would be storing in things like tanks or cisterns. So most of it was stored for container use. And then we asked why they stored water, because it varies from region to region, for grower to grower. And one of the main reasons was for either make sure that they maintain their volume so that they can have enough water to irrigate, and also for drought. So making sure that if there was a drought in the area, that they'd be able to have enough water to pull their plants through that drought. And flow rate was also important. For example, if their well didn't produce enough water to be able to pump on their irrigation, that their irrigation was able to pump more water than their well produced, they would have to pump water into a containment pond or something like that, and then pull from that when they were irrigating. So another area of concern is sediment reduction, nutrient reduction, things like that. So one of the things that we asked was, you know, do you use any sort of sediment reduction practices at your operation? And a number of growers did, and the main ways that they reduced sediment was either with a sediment pond or vegetative buffer of some sort, and then a smaller number used riprap, cement, or a combination of those. And then another thing that we asked them was, do you filter your runoff before it leaves your operation? This is a major concern for things like remediating phosphorus before it leaves an operation, and with TMDL issues that are coming down the line, especially in Chesapeake Bay, Florida, and California. We want to see what growers are doing to actively manage their sediment reduction. So 30% of the growers said that they do filter their runoff before it leaves their operation. Or 35 out of the respondents, and about 25 of them said no, we don't do anything before it leaves our operation. And then what they did, most of them had either vegetative channels or vegetative buffers, and then a small number of them, six of them said that they had some sort of constructive wetland. And the good thing is that things like vegetative channels and vegetative buffers are considered best management practices for sediment reduction. So it turns out that growers are actually doing quite a good job when it comes to remediating their sediment. So another thing that we wanted to look at was quality of pond water. There's a major concern, and there is actually a five-year project that we're working on now that's looking at recycling and remediating water, either recycling it to use on your operation or remediating it before it goes off your property so it doesn't impact water quality. So we asked them what are their problems that they have with water quality, and you can see here it's kind of across the gamut. There's no one specific thing that growers said, okay, this is a water quality problem that I have. It ranged pH, nutrients, suspended sediments, weeds, alkalinity. You know, different growers had different problems. So I guess that's one of the major take-home messages, is that, you know, not everybody is going to have the same problem. So we need to make sure that we are addressing all those issues when we're looking for solutions. And then when we ask them, okay, well, what do you measure at your operation? You say that your pH is a problem. Do you actually measure it? And if I'll put up in the inset the last graph that I showed about where actually people say that they're having problems, and this is what they're actually measuring. The good news is that, you know, some of them, those that are saying that they have problems, at least some of them are actually measuring them to say, oh, well, I think it's my alkalinity, or I think it's my, you know, X, Y, or Z. They're actually measuring those things, and for the few of them that do measure it and are actually seeing those problems. So, of course, we'd like more growers to measure their water quality and be able to have a starting point of where we go from there, but, you know, that's partially education, partially getting growers to understand how they benefit from getting their water quality information about their water source. And in conclusion, so practices varied widely by region and by operation type, so this is to be expected. You know, not every grower is going to do everything the same, so depending on where you are in the country and how you do things, you're going to have different problems, different solutions, different ways of handling things. And operations are complex. Anybody who's ever been on a nursery operation knows that these things, they have, you know, everybody does everything differently. Everybody has a different way of irrigating, a different way of setting up plants, different ways of doing things, and different layouts for their operations. And that's going to impact how they, which options they choose for their operations, how they do things, And the survey definitely showed that, that, you know, there's no one way of doing things or one way of growers, how they, you know, what steps they use at their operation. And the grower perceptions are their reality. Basically, what the growers perceive to be the problems, those are the problems that they're going to treat. Those are the problems that they're going to try to fix. There's some problems that growers don't even know about, that don't even, questions they don't even know that they're asking, in order to get at things like disease control and things like that. And then maybe, you know, something that's staring them right in front of them with their water quality, whatever the case may be, that they're not even asking the question to get at, okay, well, I don't even know that this is a problem, so I don't even know the question to ask. And keep it short, that's probably one of the biggest things that I learned from this. It was a very long survey that would require growers to go about 40 minutes, 30 to 40 minutes to complete. And I think that's one of the things that majorly impacted our response rate, or the, you know, as low as it was because, you know, take a 5-minute survey, yeah, I could do that. And you're just going to sit down for 15 or 20, you're going to have fewer and fewer growers that are willing to do that. But overall, you know, we got a lot of good information out of it, and we're moving forward with as much as we can. And with that, I will take any questions. So it was online. We used a SurveyMonkey, and basically we put it out through extension agents, and we actually went to trade shows to, we didn't ask them to fill it out at the trade show, but we gave them a business card that they could go to the website to do it.